another episode of the Bulldog Broadcast on the Field of 68 Network. I'm your host, Dan Dickow, former Gonzaga player, Gonzaga grad. We keep trying to bring you conversations with legendary Zag players or coaches. Last time we had a couple broadcasters, Greg Heister, Richard Fox, producer Chauncey Jones brought the heat. Today, 2014 graduate of Gonzaga, the lefty with the smooth touch, Sam Dower. Sam, how is life?
I'm out in Scottsdale right now, so it's definitely great to be, you know, not having to deal with snow anymore, you know, for the time being. That's also, you know, a great thing to have. Other than that, you know, just hanging out. Been following the Zags, man. Been excited, you know, about, you know, this coming year, especially given with all that's going on right now. It's definitely, you know, a little beacon of hope for us just to be able to know that Zags basketball is back and we're playing, you know, so well.
So you mentioned off air before we began recording that you moved to Scottsdale. You're starting some new business ventures. What was it about the cold of Spokane or the cold of Minneapolis that made you say, I don't want that anymore?
It wasn't necessarily that. I grew up with snow. I'm from Minnesota, went to Spokane, and, you know, it snows there as well in the winter. So I've grown to tolerate snow, but this was more of a better opportunity that happened out here for me. And I love to help out my fellow Zags and be able to work with them. So just, you know, being here, helping one of my friends, you know, start his new dealership here, it's pretty cool to be a part of. And so, yeah, if anybody's in Scottsdale, you know, looking for a car, hey, I'm your guy.
Sounds good. Well, you know what? Next time I'm looking for a car, if I can't find one in the Spokane area, I'll have to remember that and I'll look you up and we'll get that one figured out.
Oh, yeah.
So Gonzaga built their program on a lot of Northwest guys. And then as things started picking up, they had coaching staff was able to go evaluate and recruit different areas. You were the first guy from the Minnesota area. What was it about Gonzaga when they were recruiting you, and what assistant coach was it that really kind of pinpointed you in that evaluation process that made you want to go to GU?
What I liked about GU as far as my recruiting is that they were really consistent as far as with the letters and make sure you're talking to, you know, the same coach and that, you know, every time. They were really good with that. And then, you know, it was just history after that. Like, once I went there and visited, you know, Gonzaga, went to Spokane with my family, had a great time, played some basketball, met the players, met the families and stuff like that. I already felt like home. I already felt like that was home before I even, you know, signed any letter of commitment or anything like that. So that's why it was so easy for me to choose them, you know, over all the other colleges that I had recruited me at the time.
What were some of the final schools that you were looking at before choosing?
Minnesota, Marquette, George Mason, and St. Louis. Those were, you know, my top colleges that when I narrowed it down to five, they're in the top five. But obviously, you know, I went to Gonzaga.
No regrets?
No regrets. Zero regrets at all. I still consider, you know, Spokane my home. Try to get out there as, you know, as often as possible. There's so many people out there that I still love and consider family. And it's just a great place to be.
A lot of former Zags have ended up calling Spokane home, and a lot of it is because of the experience and getting connected to the community. Any chance for Sam Dower at some point to move up to Spokane?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I talk about it all the time. If you ask, like, any of the guys that I played with that, you know, that we still talk to, you know, a lot these days, like, you know, Kelly Olynyk, David Stockton, you know, I talk about it all the time. Like, hey, you know, I may end up moving back to Spokane, you know, one day once the time is right. So we'll see what happens here.
So we touched on Gonzaga and their recruitment of you and how that went. They've got a freshman from your neck of the woods, maybe your backyard, Jalen Suggs, one of the best freshmen in the country. Did you know of him growing up? Have you ever met the young man or his family?
Yeah, I knew coming in the basketball community in Minnesota, yeah, I did know of him. And yeah, I met his dad a couple times here and there just because, you know, playing traveling basketball in the city. But I didn't really know them like that. So it was just cool that, you know, once Gonzaga started, you know, recruit him and things like that, I'm like, wow, he could end up going to where I went. You know, another Minnesota kid, which I'm all for, Minnesota kids going to Zag, you know, be, you know, Zag. So I tried to do all I could do to, you know, to help. And if I, they needed me, which they didn't, but if they did need me, I was always there for them to, you know, give Jalen, you know, the rundown of how it went down for me at Gonzaga and how, you know, I think it could work out for him as well.
I think that's so apparent in the program. It's about former players like myself, yourself, if they come across potential recruits, and we never cross the line, but if we ever have the opportunity to share our experiences, you know, we're all for the net helping the next generation of Gonzaga players. Who would you say you learned that from when you were at Gonzaga?
Who I learned that from, my guy was would probably be Robert Sacre. You know, he took me in because he was there when I came there. You know, kind of took me in, and me being a big, we're both big. You know, I really looked up to him and just seeing how, you know, dominant Rob Sacre was growing up, you know, as a young Zag, freshman, sophomore, junior, and to see what he did, like, man, you know, that'd be the guy to learn from as far as being, you know, finding success as a big at Gonzaga. So we hung out a lot, and me and Rob are still, you know, really good friends to this day.
Well, you guys have two different personalities. Rob's as loud and outgoing as they come. You're a little bit more quiet, but I'm sure the work ethic rubbed off a little bit.
Yeah, that's for sure. Rob is, you know, one of a kind and such a great guy to be around. Makes any time fun, you know, around Rob. So
yeah, he lives a couple miles away from me. Funny story, you might get a kick out of this. Last summer, I'm pulling down out of my neighborhood. There's a big hill, and I see off in the distance this horse on the side of the road, like a normal horse.
Yeah.
And the horse gets a little closer, and there's this big, enormous human being on the horse. Come to find out, Rob Sacre is riding a horse through North Spokane. I felt so bad for that horse. 7 foot, 260. Like, Rob's feet were literally dragging on the ground in cowboy boots. I got a picture of it on my phone somewhere. I'm going to have to
see it. I would love to see that picture. That is hilarious.
Yeah, he's a great guy, that's for sure. He always brings excitement wherever he's at. Have you had a chance to watch this year's Gonzaga team through the first two games?
I did watch the first game against Kansas. And, like, I can't – coming into this season, I already knew, like, this is going to be a good team this year. We got one of the top-ranked, you know, recruiting freshman classes coming in. We got some really good returners in Tammy and Kispert and Joel Oyayi. And so I knew it was going to be, you know, we're going to have a good team. Then I watched them play, you know, Kansas, who, you know, one of the blue bloods of college basketball. And, like, we just go in there, you know, just head on and just to play like that on the, you know, at the biggest stage, one of the biggest stages, first game of the season against Kansas, like, come on. And, like, we just balled out. Like, I literally could not see a flaw. I couldn't find a flaw in how we played that night.
Yeah, it's hard to find a flaw, that's for sure. I think if there is a flaw in my eyes, it's the lack of front court depth. But with the way the game is now, you can play with four guards. Kispert's big enough. You can put him at the four and really space it at times. Were you on the first team from Gonzaga to be ranked number one in the country? You were, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yep. I was on that team. Yeah, that was a really good team we had. It was the good old days, yeah. So I was on that first team.
What was Coach Q's message when that came out that you guys were ranked number one in the country? Because he's never really been a guy that's been into rankings or, you know, accolades. But I can only imagine that was a pretty proud moment for you and your teammates.
Yeah, definitely. I can't remember exactly, you know, what Coach Q said to us. But, you know, like you said, you know, he's not big into the rankings. He doesn't want us, you know, he never wants us to get over our heads at the end of the day. Just wants us to go in and play our tails off night in and night out. You know, and that's what we, you know, that's what we did. That's where we got to where we were at. And, you know, you see that with this team this year as well. Like, even though it's a small sample, but you can just tell it's going to be a special season for those guys.
You know, it's so hard to believe. I know for myself, my senior year, we were ranked as high as sixth in the country. You were on the team that was ranked number one for the first time. They're a preseason number one. That blows my mind. I mean, I've always had a huge amount of pride for the program. I've always obviously pulled for the guys, and I want them to do well. But when you take a step back and look, preseason number one, preseason All-Americans, guys that are talked about, you know, maybe being player of the years, how much pride do you have in the fact that you played a big role on a number of teams?
Oh, so much pride. I mean, not only that, but just to see how Gonzaga has, you know, progressed. You know, like we're always getting better and better. Like we're moving away from being that Cinderella story, and like we're starting to slowly become a blue blood of our own. You know, we're America's team. So it's just cool, you know, just to see that. And like now we are able to get, you know, this top talent to come to Gonzaga, and so we can really, you know, compete for a national championship every year. That's just amazing, you know, just see that, man.
When you first got to Gonzaga, I saw you practice a number of times, and you always seemed to have a really good connection with David Stockton in the pick and roll. He almost kind of sensed the pick and pop action with you. Is that something that John may have ever talked about to you and him, about him and Carl worked on it for so many years, we're almost perfected it with the Jazz?
I mean, yeah, definitely. It's something that, you know, I think, you know, Big John, you know, he always would try to, you know, lead us in the right direction as far as how we can prepare ourselves and be, you know, ready to produce at the, you know, highest level in the game. So he would definitely, yeah, like me and David were really successful with that pick and roll, you know, because, you know, so here and there, John Stockton would be able to give us, you know, hints and how he did things in certain situations. And we really took that in, and it ended up being really successful for us.
You were a lot like myself in that you had a redshirt year at Gonzaga. Mine was after transferring from UW. Yours was to start your career, and I believe it's because you had an injury. What was that redshirt year like for you and the mentality that you had to have?
I mean, the redshirt year was great for me, just because I felt like it gave me a chance to really catch up as far as, like, the physical side of the game. Because coming out of high school, I was, like, always taller than everybody, and, you know, and that's why I saw a lot of success. But once I got to college, everybody's my height. There's guys that are heavier than me. They're stronger and things like that. So I did need that year to catch up to the physical aspect of basketball in college. But I looked at it, hey, like, it's a way for me to, you know, see what I lack at, and I have time to fix those things and really focus on it rather than playing through it and not being able to work on those things as much.
Any regrets from your time at Gonzaga?
Zero regrets. Yeah, like I'm happy. You know, I'm happy with each and every single year I played at Gonzaga, every moment I've been there. I have zero regrets, man. Like, this is probably one of the best things that happened to me personally.
You had a chance to go play professionally, and in following your career a little bit, and you know how hard it is to track everybody that comes to the program, but I know you did play professionally for a couple of years. What I found at the professional level was the lack of connectedness with teammates, the lack of wanting to put your own ego aside to accomplish a common goal, which is what we were all used to at Gonzaga. What was the biggest adjustment for you when you went to play professionally in Europe?
No, it was definitely that that being able that, not necessarily language barrier, but you could definitely tell that the locals over there, wherever we're playing at, you know, they tended to stick together outside of basketball, even sometimes during. They would tend to stick together, and then the Americans or whatever, the imports, you know, found themselves sticking more together. So that definitely was different. I wasn't used to that, you know, especially coming from Gonzaga, where you move as a unit on and off the court, you know. I missed that aspect of, you know, basketball being, you know, turning into, you know, a pro and then having to be disconnected. That definitely was different, something I had to learn to adjust to, because at the end of the day, that's my job. So nothing you really do about it. You just got to, you know, take it to the chin and try to make the best out of that situation as you can.
You're an interesting follow on social media. I follow a lot of former Zags as well. You have an affinity and a love for Taco Bell that just blows my mind. Where did that come from?
You don't understand how much, like, Taco Bell literally got me through college. And, like, David Stockton and Olenek can attest to this as well. We used to eat way too much Taco Bell. Like, literally live off of it. So, it's one of my things. I definitely don't eat it as much as I talk about it. I wish I could. You know, when I'm getting kind of old now, I can't, you know, my metabolism isn't where it is, so I can't eat it every day. But it's just, I just one of those things I like to bring with me, because Taco Bell is not only like a restaurant, but all the memories that just me going to Taco Bell back in the day with, you know, Stockton and Olenek, we all piling into a car. That's really why I have so much love for Taco Bell. It's more so because of that.
So I guess that leads to the question of, you go to Taco Bell, would you guys go drive-through and take it back to your apartment, your house, or would you sit in the lobby of the restaurant just eating Taco Bell? And which one in Spokane?
We definitely didn't stick around because it was some weird people in some of those.
Let me guess, it's the one by the Spokane Arena.
Yeah, right across from Spokane Arena. So we would drive through, and literally, like, the girl's name, I don't know if she still works there, her name was Sadie's, and, like, we would have, like, full-on conversations. We, like, she would know it was us and, like, know our orders, so we wouldn't have to say anything. And we'd literally just, oh, hey, Sadie, like, it's us. And she's like, oh, okay, pull up to the next window. And she knew everything we wanted. It was amazing. So, yeah, shout-out to Sadie's.
That's awesome. You obviously connected and formed a great bond with David Stockton and Kelly Olynyk. David's still plugging away right now. I believe he's playing in Puerto Rico.
With Angel Kelly, Jimenez, sure.
And Kelly has had an unbelievable NBA career.
Went to the finals.
NBA finals. How much pride and enjoyment do you get out of watching the two of those guys still compete at such a high level?
I love it, you know, because like we know, those are my brothers. So anytime I see them seeing success, it's like, yes, you know, they're doing well. I'm doing well, too. You know, anything I'm going through, like, is I see my guys doing well, then that automatically makes me happy. So it's good to just be seeing them still being able to play and play the game they love. And Stocks is traveling the world. Kelly's was just in the NBA Finals, which is all of our dreams as a kid, being a basketball player. Like, that's where you want to make it. You want to be in the finals. You want to win that. So him for being able to say he did that, like, that's amazing. And, you know, I'm always rooting for those guys. So shout out to those guys as well.
Spoken like a true Zag and supporting and following your teammates. I love to hear that. Couple quick questions before I let you go, Sam.
Yep.
And I want to go back and take the entire history of the Gonzaga program. Take David Stockton out of the equation on this question.
Okay.
If you could play pick and roll with any former Zag, who would it be?
Wow. That's good. That's good. Oh, man. And you said Stocks is out of the question. I can't pick Stocks because you know that's where I would go to.
Yes.
I'm going to shake you.
There's a lot of good ones. You got Nigel, you got Josh Perkins, Massey.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to shake you. I'm a big Jeremy Pargo fan, and just seeing some of the things he's doing, how good that dude still is, like, man. Yeah, I'll go to Pargo, man. I'll go to Pargo for sure.
Yeah, you know, Jeremy's been impressive to me because he's continued to get better over the course of his career.
Yeah.
You know, he had a couple years in the NBA, but he's played for some really good overseas and China teams.
For sure.
Defender of all time.
Toughest defender? That I played with?
Yeah.
Gary Bell. Gary Bell, hands down. Don't even got to think about that.
You know what? That's Antangelo, the same question, and he didn't hesitate to put Gary Bell in the top three, so that's a great call.
Gary Bell Jr. Yeah.
One Zag to for an open three to win the game to go to a Final Four. Who you got?
Oh, wow. One Zag for three for the You know who I'm going? I'm going Richie. I'm going Richie.
I'm right there with it. Richie Fromm, yep. He might have had the most pure form of any Zag of all time, the elevation, the tight form.
Yeah, I'm going Richie.
You know what I love about that answer is the fact that it shows your knowledge of the history of the program. You probably watched was it the Decade of Excellence that Greg Heisler narrated years ago? Yeah, that's a great documentary for any Zag fans out there looking.
Sure.
How about the hardest gym to play in, whether it's WCC or a non-conference game? Obviously, everybody knows how difficult it is for opposing teams to play in Spokane.
Yeah.
But when you went on the road, what was the hardest gym?
And this is conference and non-conference?
Yeah.
Toughest gym. For a conference, it was always San Fran for me. I don't know what it was, but it was always tough to play in San Fran. Like, my years there, that was, you know, we had a bad record against San Fran, at San Fran, for some reason. I don't know what it is. It's like a spell or something. I don't know what it was, but we could not play good at San Fran. So I say San Fran for conference. Non-conference, I would say – I actually didn't plan this game when we played them, but it was my redshirt year at Michigan State. And Michigan State was tough. That whole vibe, like, it was tough. I would say Michigan State for sure for non-conference.
I like both those answers, but when this is going to show you probably, or I think it's going to show people where the difference of the program was when I was at GU versus when you were there. So when we would play at San Francisco, we would have pregame meal at Tommy's joint, which was like a block or two away from our team hotel. Where did you guys stay for your hotel, and did you ever go to Tommy's joint? Have you even heard of the place?
So Tommy's what?
Tommy's joint. It was a little hole in the wall restaurant. It's actually been on Guy Fieri's like Diners, Drive-Ins and Dives.
I don't think we went to Tommy's joint. That's not familiar with me. I don't recall that. I would just remember us having like that normal like pregame meal at whatever hotel we're at. Yeah, I can't really remember what we did different for San Fran.
Well, that shows where the program has come from, early 2000s to mid 2015 or so when you were there. So, last one before I let you go, and yep. Appreciate the time, Sam. Gonzaga wins a national title this year. How will you celebrate?
How will I celebrate?
Because it doesn't look like we're all going to be able to show up like so many Zags did in Phoenix a few years back.
Well, I'm gonna FaceTime my guys, you know, my play with Olenek, Stockton, and things like that, and celebrate with them via FaceTime. Then I don't know. I'd probably run around my neighborhood screaming "Go Zags!" Like, to be honest, it'd be a really fun night for me. That's for sure. It'd be a fun
Absolutely.
Night.
Absolutely. Well, Sam, I appreciate the time. Thanks for telling some stories, breaking it down a little bit with former Zags that you wish you might have had a chance to play with, and some of the guys that you did play with. So, wish you nothing but the best with all your business ventures going on down in the Arizona area, and stay away from Taco Bell too much.
I'll try, man. It'll be tough. I'll try. Thanks for having me, though, Dan.
Yep. Take care.